What's going on, everybody? Nick Whalen, Jeff Erickson here with you. It's the Wednesday edition of Prop Points on the Sports Betting Network. Got no World Cup games on the schedule today, but plenty to discuss from yesterday's action. We'll look ahead to what we have coming our way on Thursday. Plenty of baseball to recap from last night. A huge night for Ryan O'Hearn. The Marlins still rolling. The Brewers taking care of business in a doubleheader against the St. Louis Cardinals. We'll hit all that off the top. We're going to have Alan Sislowski from RotoWire join us. Talk a little fantasy football. I mean, we're almost to mid-July, so we're at that point. You got to start thinking about your fantasy football drafts. He'll give us some of the guys he has been drafting early in the summer. And we are a week away from the Open, but we do have the Genesis Scottish Open coming up starting tomorrow on the PGA Tour. Len Hochberg going to give us a full preview, give us his best bets and all of his DFS advice. And of course, we will end the show with Jeff Erickson's picks and plays in Major League Baseball. Just a reminder, if you miss any of our shows, if you want to re-listen, you can find Prop Points on Apple, on Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Just search Prop Points, search VSiN. You will find us. You will find all VSiN programming in podcast form. All right, Jeff. So again, no World Cup games today as we get a little bit of a breather after what has been a wild start to the week. And look, we were on air for most of the Argentina-Egypt game. We were giving you updates. We were telling you, all right, Egypt's up 2-0. Looks like they're going to close this thing out. Argentina storms back, wins this game without even getting to penalty kicks, setting up a matchup with Switzerland now on Saturday in the round of eight. Argentina skating by, but will be a heavy favorite. -295 is our current price in that Switzerland game. How do you describe what we saw, Jeff, right after we went off air yesterday?
Incredible. And in fact, we literally said goodbye, clicked off with each other. Even, you know, you chatter usually for a minute after the show. The literal second I clicked off, Argentina scored the go-ahead goal. Just some wild stuff there. Just, you know, I saw the comps to the 28-3 game. To, you know, even Tom Brady goes, okay, that might be more extreme than 28-3. In this, you know, the fact that the game was in Atlanta probably had something to do with that comp as well. Sorry, Falcons fans, for taking strays on that one there, but just devastating. Did Egypt have a legitimate gripe for that one goal being overturned, for not even doing a video review on whether Argentina got the advantage possession of the ball in the same sort of fashion? Yeah, I think they should have at least reviewed it at the very least. I think they would have come up with a conclusion that the tackle on Salah was legit and it should have stayed. The Argentina's goal should have stood. I think the bigger question is that did that second goal that get pulled off by from Egypt, was that legitimate? But you know what? They scored like 2 minutes later on a counter. That doesn't happen. It's sliding doors, you know? It's not like you got three goals all of a sudden. But there was a play later on where, you know, Egypt had a 2-on-1. They could have gotten that third goal and didn't. A midfielder who's not even much of a defender successfully stopped that one there. So that was a big moment in that game. You're right. Argentina is skating by. They've got a lot of individual brilliant plays, but it feels like the last couple of games they've gotten by just by, you know, maybe not. It's not even that they're playing poorly or anything of that nature, but they're just not dominant. That other teams are pushing them hard. And maybe this is more of a reflection of us not properly valuing Capo Verde, not valuing Egypt properly. Egypt won their group. They were in the same group as Belgium. So maybe we should, maybe the whole reflection is maybe Egypt is better than we were giving them credit.
So my question to you now, Jeff, is when you look at the remaining teams, and look, Team USA is out, and I think that was brutal for a lot of people, but we still have, you know, a fascinating eight teams remaining. Where does your rooting interest lie? You know, is there a team that has captured your attention, a team that you've attached yourself to, even a semifinal matchup that you're rooting to see?
That's a great question. I think if you're looking on paper, it's France-Spain is what people probably want to see the most, the two betting favorites coming into the tournament there. But their respective quarterfinal games are pretty tough. As the France-Morocco game, I can't wait for that tomorrow. I think that's going to be a fascinating game. Morocco is obviously battle-tested. They made it to the semis in the last World Cup. They've restocked with a bunch of younger players this year. So they can and they have a little bit of a rest advantage. They played the first game on Saturday, and I think they played it in easier conditions than France did against Paraguay in terms of like the effort expended. Paraguay, you know, they got that game into the muck. So we'll see what happens with that one there, but I think that's going to be a fascinating game. The Norway-England game, I can't wait to see that one. I think, you know, Norway, I think, is, you know, one of the great stories of this tournament, dating back to the whole qualification process where they thumped Italy twice. They essentially knocked Italy out of the tournament. Italy had that second chance to get in, fell short, fell to Bosnia, but they were in that position because Norway handled them in qualifying, and they've carried that on to the tournament. They've only lost the one game where they didn't play their starters against France. This game against England, I can't wait to see that.
So if we do indeed get France-Spain, Jeff, that would, of course, be a semifinal game. Those teams cannot meet in the final. I think there is a little bit of, you know, Spurs thunder to that, where it's like, okay, you know, only one of these teams can advance. Is it open for, you know, Norway, England, Argentina, Switzerland? Like, would you be surprised if any of those teams, you know, end up being the representative in the final? Like, who do you give the advantage to of that group of four?
That's a good question. We need to get like Kyle Bond or get some of our experts on here. I dilettante as an a soccer guy. I would say that Argentina France rematch would obviously be a fascinating storyline, and that would mean that Argentina has continued on and getting by some of these situations there where we saw this coming up here. I mean, they've got a pretty good chance of getting to the semis. I think they're a comfortable favorite over Switzerland for a good reason. Switzerland's a tough out, but at the same time, they don't have those dynamic finishers that Argentina does. So I think at the very least, storyline-wise, I think Argentina getting the final would be fascinating. Mm-hmm. Argentina, England, if it got to that in the semis, think about all the storylines you'd have there. A lot of different ways you could go there. You know, remember, that was the hand of God matchup there, Diego Maradona in Mexico. That was against England where that happened. Also, there's a little tiny war back in the 80s, the Falklands, that also has some enmity between the two squads.
Well, I will say this. We do have fairly heavy favorites in each of our round of eight matchups. France, the biggest favorite of them all, -390 to take down Morocco. Spain, -320 over Belgium. England, -225 against Norway. And Argentina, -295 to take down Switzerland. We'll, of course, have more World Cup talk coming for you as the week goes along. But folks, do you want to bet smarter this year? Then you need RotoWire. Our brand new smart money tool shows you exactly where the sharp action is moving, so you're always on the right side of the line. And that's just the start. RotoWire's award-winning staff delivers rankings, projections, real-time injury updates, and data-driven insights across every sport every day. Whether you're handicapping games, crushing your fantasy leagues, or both, RotoWire has you covered. So check out rotowire.com. Do it right now. Use our promo code VSIN, V-S-I-N. Put that in at checkout. It'll get you 15% off anything we offer. That's rotowire.com, promo code VSIN. Big night in Major League Baseball yesterday, Jeff. We got to start with Ryan O'Hearn. 10 RBI, a Pirates record, as the Pirates took down the Braves 12-4 yesterday. O'Hearn single-handedly accounted for the first 10 runs of the game. Did basically all of his production in six innings, finished 4-5, three homers with those 10 RBI, now up to 16 homers, 61 RBI on the year. So basically like 16% of his season RBI total came last night. The Pirates, by the way, Jeff, just three games back now of that final wildcard spot in the National League.
Yep. And once again, better hitting team at home, those left-handed hitters in Pittsburgh, for whatever reason, you know, it hasn't always played like this, but it absolutely has played like that this year. O'Hearn was the guy. It was his turn on the wheel last night. They subbed out a lot of people late in that game. Really fascinating game there. I was on the Brian Reynolds over 1.5 runs plus hits plus RBI, and I got there because he scored twice on O'Hearn's homers on that one. There were two walks, and then the subsequent O'Hearn homers, which were a beautiful thing. But it was a case there where Atlanta continues to slide and Pittsburgh continues to surge at home. Atlanta's no risk of missing the playoffs by any stretch, but this is a really rough patch that they're in for the last month or so.
We got to talk to Miami Marlins here on Prop Points. They went again last night at home over Seattle. They've now won four in a row, 24-8 over their last 32 games. If you go back to the halfway point of last season, Jeff, if you just take the last 162 games played, the Marlins are a top five team in baseball. They're still very much in a crowded wild card race in the National League. Are you buying in on this Marlins team currently plus 140 to make the playoffs?
You know, I'm warming up to that notion because young teams tend to have this surprise, like get better over, get better quickly than we expect. They're run by a former Rays front office guy, and they had a similar sort of track in their history as well. They tend to have that sort of arc. They have good young starting pitching, although ironically, it wasn't the pitching yesterday that did it. It was they had to win an extra innings after blowing a lead late in that one there. But no longer are we talking about them possibly trading Sandy Alcantara or Yuri Perez at the trade deadline. Instead, we're looking at maybe them possibly adding at the trade deadline, and that's not something I was expected to be looking at. But I guess if one goes down like the Mets, someone else has to come up. The Mets found a way to lose that game yesterday, Nick, by the way, 16-12, after scoring on that crazy little league home run in the first inning. We were texting about that one there. That throw by Jack Caglione, I mean, just put that in the lube. That was such a bad throw. I mean, it's just art. It was so bad. But yet they lost that game.
Nothing surprises me. I mean, look, when the Mets and the Royals get together in the year 2026, like those are the two teams I think I would circle for a play like that to occur. I think that was the worst throw I've seen in Major League Baseball this year. That's including all pitches. That's including throws from the outfield. I've watched it over and over. I still don't know where that was supposed to end up, but yeah, the final result of that game, I think, was emblematic of where these two teams are at right now. We'll have more baseball talk coming for you later in the show, including all of Jeff's plays for the Wednesday slate. It's time to do what we do best at RotoWire. We're going to talk some fantasy football when we come back with Alan Soslowski. Keep it here. You're watching Prop Points here on VSiN.
So you're listening to this podcast because you want an edge. But what if I told you you're only halfway there? You've got the mindset. Now it's time to get the toolkit to match. Here's the thing. Pro bettors spend thousands on data and tools, but what they don't want you to know is that you can get the same edge for a fraction of the cost with VSiN Pro. With VSiN Pro, you'll get access to expert picks, public betting data, prop projections, powerful tools, analytics, and more. Just tap the link in the description and see why thousands of bettors are already using VSiN Pro to cash more bets.
You're watching Prop Points on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Prop Points rolling along here on the sports betting network. I'm Nick Whalen. He is Jeff Erickson here with you from rotowire.com. It's only July 8th, but it is never too early to start thinking about fantasy football. We're doing that year round over at RotoWire. So we're going to head out to the Progressive guest line, bring in one of our pals, Alan Soslowski, one of our football analysts at RotoWire. Check him out on Twitter at Alan_Soslowski. And Alan, first of all, welcome to the show. Second of all, I'm very excited to talk about so many big name players with new teams this offseason and what that means for fantasy football. And I want to start with a guy that, you know, we've been talking about a ton throughout the summer. That is Kenneth Gainwell, now with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. You know, we know what he was able to do last year in Pittsburgh. And it feels like every single week we see another bump in the ADP for Kenneth Gainwell. There's some skepticism. There's some injury concerns around Bucky Irving. What is your current read on Gainwell? What is your current read on that backfield? And perhaps most importantly, how high are you taking Kenneth Gainwell?
First of all, what do you mean only July? We're doing fantasy football drafts since February. Come on, give me a break here, Nick Whalen. We're drafting all the time. And what we've seen is that Kenneth Gainwell, who was signed as a free agent, Rashad White, who was the former Tampa Bay Buccaneers back, he's gone to the Commanders now in Washington. And Gainwell was given real starter money. And that's what I am. I'm a follow the money drafter in fantasy football. He's given about $7 million of annual average salary, $10 million total. So what that tells me is he is going to have definitely a role and there could be upside for more. Who's his main competition? It's Bucky Irving, who's the incumbent, who was a fourth round draft pick, had a very nice rookie year and certainly regressed a little bit, had that injury risk because of his non-lead back size and missed a bunch of games. And I think that he now is promised nothing. Gainwell has always been an efficiency monster and he's being treated like he's some backup running back. I think it's more reasonable to project that Kenneth Gainwell is not only just a co-starter, but he could end up with more fantasy fantasy points than presumed starter Bucky Irving. Kenneth Gainwell right now is going around the eighth round if you do an early fantasy football drafts, and the high stakes drafters who are actually plunking down real money to draft have pushed Gainwell all the way up sometimes into the seventh round. Bucky Irving dropping to about the fifth or sixth round. I predict that those ADPs might cross and we're going to see a changing of the guard in Tampa Bay at the running game.
Alan, DJ Moore was sent to the Bills. Bills gave up a second round pick to get DJ Moore from the Bears, and he seemingly like the Bears wanted to move on from him anyhow. The over-under on receiving yards for him over at the DraftKings Sportsbook is 824.5, juiced a little bit to the over. Are you in or out on that price? And what say you generally about DJ Moore?
I mean, there's a bull and a bear case to DJ Moore. If you're in on DJ Moore, he's always been a good player, had a couple down years in Chicago once the new coaching staff came in and they started drafting their own guys. DJ Moore is still a good player. He's almost 30 years old, but that's, you know, not over the hill in football, especially for the receiver position. The bull case says that why can't he be Josh Allen's new Stephon Diggs? They brought him in at an advanced age, wasn't, you know, on a rookie contract or anything. And then he has one of his best seasons as a NFL pro. The bear case says that DJ Moore was kind of slipping a little bit. They overpaid for him. He's a little past his prime. So listen, I want the receiver who's going to be Josh Allen's presumed number one. Like you said, they gave up some serious draft capital to get him. And his draft price, if you're doing any early drafts, you're in the high stakes world, he goes around the end of the fourth round. That's a very fair price where all the risk is baked in. I'll take DJ Moore on my fantasy teams. He's a boring pick, Jeff. He's not going to be one of those guys where you pick him and the rest of the room goes, great pick. So I'll take the boring guy that scores fantasy points.
Folks, there's no shortage of betting opportunities this summer, from daily Major League Baseball and World Cup soccer to the countdown to football season. That's why now's the perfect time to lock in VSiN's football special for just $175. That'll get you full VSiN Pro access all the way through the Super Bowl, including our all-new 26-27 NFL betting guide to help you attack futures, win totals, division races, and the upcoming season. Plus, you'll get daily best bets, real-time betting splits from DraftKings and Circa, AI-powered prop projections, 24/7 video on the VSiN Watch app, and coverage of every major sport all year long. And remember, the earlier you sign up, the more value you get. Head over to VSiN.com/subscribe right now. That's VSIN.com/subscribe. Take advantage of that football special. Again, access all the way through the Super Bowl for just $175. We're talking with Alan Sislowski. What I would say early fantasy football discussion, what some would say, I don't know, late, Alan, if you've been drafting since the day after the Super Bowl, but we're talking about guys who switched teams this offseason, and want to talk a little Kenneth Walker landing with the Kansas City Chiefs, a team to me, Alan, that has almost disregarded the running back position to varying degrees throughout the Patrick Mahomes era. You know, there was a brief period where we were excited about Isaiah Pacheco. That didn't really work out. They were back to the Kareem Hunt experiment for some reason last season, but really the first time in a while that they have invested heavily in the running back position. Are you willing to draft Kenneth Walker at ADP? I will tell you, I'm starting to get a little bit uncomfortable with where he's being pushed up.
Yeah, currently right now, if you draft him and you're playing in a high stakes league that drafts in July, you're going to have to spend an early second round pick, at latest a mid second round pick. And he is the ultimate boomer bust pick because that's what type of a player he is. He's never been able to really stay healthy throughout his career. Last year was a different story. He stayed mostly healthy and then he ends up winning the Super Bowl MVP. For years, fantasy players have wanted the Chiefs running back. And here's the proof. Going back about 5 or so years ago, Clyde Edwards-Helaire was considered the rookie RB4, gets pushed all the way up to the RB1 because he lands on the Chiefs. This is the spot. Now we get a Super Bowl MVP. He's on the Chiefs, and there's really no backfield competition. So that's the good case. The only players they have really behind him are Mari DeMercado, who is kind of a cast-off in the NFL, a journeyman, if you will. And then they draft a day-three rookie in Emmett Johnson. So it's Walker's team. He's going to get most of the rushing share, presumably. Now, he's never been a 25-touch-per-game guy, so there is some risk there. Now, you're choosing between proven players like Derrick Henry or even A.J. Brown when you draft Kenneth Walker, but there is RB1 overall in fantasy football upside with him. I've been taking the plunge on him, but it is not for the weak-stomached.
Alan, I think we're going to be at loggerheads on this next one here. Mike Evans enters his age 33 season. He's rejuvenated. He caught 3 to 5 touchdowns in one OTA session. Teammates are wowing over him. He's age 33, though. Was injury prone last year. Now going to be practicing next to this devastating electromagnetic field that they have in San Francisco. I'm kidding about that part a little bit, but maybe not. He's wide receiver 25 in the NFFC right now. I'm out at that price. You're in.
It's an uncomfortable pick for sure. And Mike Evans is an all-time great, instant Hall of Famer, and in fantasy football legend. Now, at this point of his career, he hasn't recovered from the injuries when you've drafted him and he's gotten hurt. So, yeah, man, I do understand that case. But you're buying into the Kyle Shanahan system. Now, teammate, now George Kittle, the tight end, I would bet that he's going to miss the first 4 games of the season and go on the PUP. I mean, that has not been reported or confirmed, but he had a major injury towards the very end of the season in the NFL playoffs. So, you know, it's Mike Evans, it's Ricky Pearsall who's there, and then rookie Deshaun Stribling. So I bet that Shanahan's going to target Mike Evans 10, 12 times a game. And it's one of those picks where if you make it, you're not penciling in a full 17 games. You're hoping to get 10 or 12 games, and you have them most when you need them the most. So I understand fading him there. I've been drafting Mike Evans, and I assume his price will drop even more. So I'm in on him.
All right, let's go to a player, Alan, that I have a feeling I'm going to agree with you on, and that is Kyler Murray, of course, landing with the Minnesota Vikings this offseason. I think we are two down on Kyler Murray as a fantasy commodity, as a fantasy community. Obviously, things did not end well in Arizona, but even when it felt like the Cardinals weren't winning games, when it felt like Kyler Murray wasn't playing well, you look up and it's, oh, he's QB8 in fantasy. I think he is in the best situation he's ever been in his career in terms of supporting cast, in terms of head coach. What else can you sell me on when it comes to Kyler Murray?
Well, when you're buying into Kyler Murray, you're buying into the Kevin O'Connell system, who's the head coach of the Minnesota Vikings. And the proof is that up until J.J. McCarthy totally tanked the whole system, tanked Justin Jefferson, tanked Jordan Addison and the rest of them, that system was able to provide fantasy value to back up journeyman quarterbacks like Nick Mullins, Josh Dobbs, even Sam Darnold, who no one thinks is like a great quarterback, but ends up having one of his best fantasy seasons in that system. So Kyler Murray, who was a former number one overall pick, super athletic. He does have his limitations, but if you believe he's going to be the starting quarterback of Minnesota, and why wouldn't you? They got him for the league minimum, for the vet minimum. I think that you have to believe in that system. And at his current price, I think he does have top 8, top 5 overall upside in fantasy football. I think he's an easy pick. And if you're wrong, it doesn't cost you much to find out.
Great stuff as always from our friend Alan Soslowski. You can check out all of his football coverage over at rotowire.com. You can find him on SiriusXM Fantasy Sports Radio, host of the Dynasty Hour, host of the RotoWire flagship show as well. And encourage you to check out all of our fantasy football content. We're rolling it out over at rotowire.com. Put in that code VSIN, get yourself 15% off anything we offer. Switching the conversation over to golf. When we come back, Len Hochberg stopping by the Progressive Guest Line. This is Prop Points.
You're watching Prop Points on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Welcome back to Prop Points. Joining us now on the Progressive Guest Line is our good friend Len Hochberg. He runs all of our golf coverage over at RotoWire. He's our golf betting and DFS expert, 3-time winner of the FSWA DFS Writer of the Year Award. You can follow him on Twitter at Len Hochberg, and you can listen to him right now here on Prop Points. Len, welcome. How are you, my friend?
Doing well, guys. Thanks for having me.
You betcha. Because this upcoming tournament for the PGA Tour is in Scotland, we get both PGA Tour golfers, LIV golfers as well. It's not a major yet. We still get LIV golfers. It's because they can play on the European Tour.
Absolutely. Yeah, this does not happen. I don't know if it has happened. Well, LIV golfers have not played in a PGA Tour sanctioned event since LIV evolved in 2022. But they will this week through their DP World Tour affiliation, much talked about. John Rahm has paid his fines. He's now eligible to play. So John Rahm will be in the field. Tyrrell Hatton will be in the field. Five other LIV golfers will be in the field alongside Scottie Scheffler, Rory McIlroy. This is what everybody wants. And, you know, say it along with us, the best golfers playing together more often. And that's what we have this week. And then we'll have that full on next week at the Open Championship.
Len, I'm going to try to find a way to put a more creative spin on our weekly song and dance when Scottie Scheffler is in the tournament. We need to address it, of course. He is the favorite, plus 490 over at DraftKings. He's going to cost you $14,000 if you want to get him in your DK DFS lineup. But my question to you is, like, how high does Scottie Scheffler have to finish to pay off that price? You know, even if he doesn't win, if he finishes third, if he finishes fourth, is that enough to justify a $14,000 investment?
Yeah, I mean, that's an age-old question with Scottie Scheffler. And, you know, and I guess it's certainly third or fourth, and there's different ways to get to finish third or fourth. As we know with the DraftKings scoring, the birdies are worth more than bogeys. So if you just get a lot of pars, but you will need a lot of birdies this week, the over-under north of 20 under. But generally, you need more birdies, and Scottie Scheffler delivers that. I don't think you know, anything outside of a top five will pay off, but there's a very good chance he will be in the top five. And gosh, he is going to win one of these weeks. He comes so close. He missed out at the Travelers, and that was a bit of a shocker. But I do think there is a pathway for him to pay off this week, but there are so many good options in this tournament.
They're playing at the Renaissance Club. It is not a total links course. As you wrote in your article, it's links adjacent, but it's still a pretty good warm up for the Open Championships next week.
Yes. And Jeff, I am impressed. Renaissance, don't walk away Renaissance. So you got that right. That was good on you. Yeah. You know, this sounds like an amazing, amazing, well, you know, you're going to Scotland for a guy's golf trip or something. Oh my gosh, this is hallowed ground from the 1800s. No, the Renaissance Club dates to 2008 and was carved out of a pine forest. So while there are some links elements, such as very wide fairways and gorse and fescue and deep bunkers, there are trees on the property, which is a very odd visual for links golf. But I think you're right. It is sort of like, I don't want to say training wheels for the Open Championship at Birkdale next week, but it certainly is a step in the right direction, especially for PGA Tour golfers who don't play this type of golf more than a couple of times a year.
We'll get into more Lens plays in just a moment, but first, Winner's Circle Proxy and VSiN are giving away two incredible prize packages that will put two lucky fans into the world's biggest football contest for free. One winner will receive a $1,000 entry into Circa Survivor. Another will win a $1,000 entry into Circa Million. Both winners will also receive a full season Winner's Circle Proxy service, a VSiN studio tour, and a free month of VSiN Pro. All you have to do is enter by Sunday, August 2nd for your chance to win. Visit winnerscircleproxy.com/VSiN to enter today. That's winnerscircleproxy.com/VSiN. RotoWire's golf DFS and betting expert Len Hochberg joining us via the Progressive Guest Line. It's Prop Points here on the Sports Betting Network. So we've addressed Scottie Scheffler. We can move beyond that as we focus on the Scottish Open, Len. To go a little bit further down the board, if you're shopping in that 9,000s range on DraftKings, we got golfers somewhere between 20, 35 to 1 to win this tournament. Who are some names that stand out to you this week?
Yeah, this is really incredible this week in the 9,000s. There are eight golfers in the 9,000. This is a sweet spot, maybe the sweetest spot. I really could not find any one of the eight golfers who I didn't like on some level. I think there's an argument to be made to play any of them in your lineup or skip Scottie Scheffler and Rory McIlroy altogether and play three of these eight guys. It's just really difficult for me. I normally like to pick two in the 9,000s. I couldn't do that. I ended up with three being Matt Fitzpatrick at 9,900, Tommy Fleetwood at 94 and Wyndham Clark at 92. And other guys, McIntyre, for instance, way down at the bottom of that is certainly a good option, especially as the cheapest option in there. Really, really fascinating that there are so many guys playing so well. Ludwig Åberg, Xander Schauffele, who has won here before, really crazy hard. And like, those are my three favorites. But just for people listening out there, if you like somebody else, I don't think you really can go wrong, of course. But the end of the day, all eight of them are not going to finish with high finishes. But a lot indicates that they all could play very well this week.
You wanted to highlight in your articles how the par fours are very difficult to play at this course. What in particular stands out? What makes them so difficult to play here?
There's a lot. Long par fours traditionally are the hardest holes to play anywhere. So it's not like this big revelation, but you know, there is difficulty with fairway bunkers, deep bunkers, and then you have trouble getting on the green. The approach shots are very long. The greens themselves are big and slow, but there tend to be runoffs. And then that brings scrambling into play. Scrambling, very important this week. There's just a lot of trickiness around the greens, even though the green complexes themselves are only running maybe 10 or so on the stimp meter. Very odd construction on this course, I want to mention as well. Five par threes and five par fives. It's kind of weird. Three par fives, excuse me. So it's very interesting development there.
Len, we saw long shots and Chris Goddard win this tournament last year. So if we go a little bit further down the board, and I know you have guys listed in your article who are, 260-1, 340-1. I don't know if we have to go quite that deep, but if you're looking for a real long shot who you feel confident about this week, who would it be?
Well, anytime scrambling and play around the greens is important. Sign me up for some Patrick Reed. Last year, Chris Goddard, who won and tied for second, Rory McIlroy and Marco Penge, all three of them finished in the top four in scrambling for the reasons that I just mentioned. The green complex is very tricky at the Renaissance Club. Patrick Reed, not in the best form, but just a wizard, a master with the wedge in hand. He's only 7,700 on DraftKings. You could fit him into any lineup.
I like a lot of those. Let's dig a little deeper into the pool here a little bit there. Get some real cheapies here for our DraftKings lineup. Let's go into the 7,000s. Again, I see old friend Patrick Reed here. What do we like? He's not LIV. He's not PGA Tour. He's just Patrick Reed. But he always shows up in these types of tournaments.
Yeah, as our friend Scott Pinassi likes to say, Patrick Table for One Reed, which is a great great nickname. Well, he's not on the PGA Tour. He's not on LIV. He is on the DP World Tour. He's leading the race to Dubai. He's about to return to the PGA Tour at the end of August. So he'll be back in earnest very quickly. We'll see him the next 2 weeks and then a little bit of a break until then. But he's been playing over there more than the other golfers and is just, well-equipped for this course with his wedge. It's not an especially long course, par 71, under 7,300 yards. So he's not going to be caught up there as a shorter hitter. There is, just a lot to like about him, at least on the golf course.
All right, Len, we will be sure to have you back on the show next week to do a full preview of the Open, but any early leans for you? We got about 20 seconds here. You can't say Scottie Scheffler. Who's winning this thing?
You know, this Birkdale, really, you're not going to see driver a lot out there. You're going to have to keep the ball in the fairway, and that really is tricky for a lot of these guys. I want to say Cameron Young is really good at that, but he's been a little bit off lately. I'm still doing my work on that. I guess if you force me to say one guy right now, Matt Fitzpatrick.
Heard it here first. Matt Fitzpatrick, your early Open favorite from our guy, Len Hochberg, doing the Lord's work, our best golf guy over at rotowire.com. We'll get Jeff Erickson's plays for the Wednesday baseball slate when we return. You're watching Prop Points here on Visa.
We'll be right back.
Washing Prop Points on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Welcome back into Prop Points here on the Sports Betting Network. Nick Whalen, Jeff Erickson, hanging out with you, bringing you up to the top of the hour. Money Moves, of course, coming your way next. We will finish out the show, Jeff, as we often do, breaking down the MLB card. Just one day game on the slate today. That is Blue Jays Giants out in San Francisco, 3:45 p.m. Eastern, first pitch. We do have Toronto as a road favorite, minus 122 on the money line. Totals all the way down at 7 for Dylan Cease going up against Logan Webb.
Yeah, and this is interesting because we have a very similar situation from yesterday. Jacob Mizorowski did not have the highest strikeout prop on the board. And in fact, it was a full two strikeouts lower than it was in his previous start against the Reds at 7.5. He eclipsed it easily, got to 11 yesterday afternoon. It was very nice for us there. I always look at the Dylan Cease prop whenever strikeout prop whenever he's slated to start. He's got, why not? He's got a 36.7% K percentage. It's a higher K rate at home than on the road, but still very high at 12.8 Ks per nine. The Giants are not a big strikeout team, so it's very similar to the Cardinals yesterday. Giants K percentage is 21% at home versus righties is 20.1%, 28th in baseball. Last 30, it's 19.7%, 25th in baseball. But it doesn't matter. I don't think it does, at least. Dylan Cease has hit that 7 Ks in his last 10 starts, and eight plus in eight of his last 10. So my bet here is Dylan Cease over 6.5 strikeouts. It's minus 153 at DK. If you want to play the 7.5 and get a better payout, it's plus 125 at Circa is the best price. Maybe ladder up that way to try to get both there. But yeah, I really like the Dylan Cease strikeout prop for today.
Yeah, Blue Jays still very much in it in the AL wildcard race, despite being 11.5 back in the AL East. Giants start to get late early on their season. 21 games out now in the NL West, starting to fall back in the wild card race as well. Let's go over to Yankees Rays, the two most competitive teams in that American League East. Gerrit Cole, Shane McClanahan on the hill tonight. You know, both guys, obviously respected names. Gerrit Cole's had some home run issues of late. McClanahan has been lights out at home, but a little bit shaky over these last couple of starts, Jeff. A little surprised, are you, that this total is down at 7?
A little bit, yeah, but I think that may be a different one angle to play that is to play the total in this one here. I wanted to look at home runs. Honestly, I struggled to find an individual player prop that I like too much here. I thought maybe total home runs might be a way to go on this one here because Cole's allowed 8 homers in 8 starts, and even though McClanahan's only allowed 6, he allowed 3 just 2 starts ago. But the line is set at least at DraftKings, it's set at 1.5 with like a minus 200 or something of that nature. Unplayable. I just couldn't play it there. So I decided instead, I'm just going to turn to the best player in this game. That's Junior Caminero, the hottest player, one of the hottest hitters in baseball. His hits plus runs plus RBI prop is at 2.5. The over on that is plus 134 over at DraftKings. That's what I'm going to end up playing on this one here.
Set over to Mariners Marlins. Talked about this red hot Marlins team a little bit earlier in the show. They'll send Tyler Phillips to the hill tonight, taking on George Kirby. Seattle minus 131 as the road money line favorite. Total in this one is sitting 8.5. Might be some eights out there in the market as well. So how are we playing this game?
Yeah, this one is a pick on Tyler Phillips game. 3.352 ERA on the season. You're like, oh, that's not a bad starting pitcher. Well, in his last 4 starts, he's given up 6 homers, 17 earned runs over 20 2/3 innings. It's just, he's not a great starter. He's just had some good relief outings. He had a couple of transparently decent, cosmetically decent starts early, but he's not really an elite starter. The Mariners are a pretty decent offense on the road. Even with George Kirby, I wanted to get behind him, but he's got a 1.43 whip on the road. I really don't want to touch that as well. No Julio Rodriguez in the lineup on the concussion IL. I think there'll be plenty of scoring in this game. So I have a couple different angles. I settled on over 8 runs. You can hit 8 just flat, not 8.5, minus 21 at Bet Rivers. You could alternately go with the Seattle team total. That's at 4.5. I like the over on that one, minus 105 at DraftKings.
But we should see some runs in Astros Nats as well, Jeff. Spencer Arrighetti, Foster Griffin is your pitching matchup. This is one of a handful of games with a double-digit total sitting at an even 10. Washington minus 136 on the money line. Are we going to what I feel like is becoming a patented Jeff Erickson total home runs prop? I like this.
It is when it comes to the Washington Nationals, at the very least, the highest scoring team in baseball still. They only scored three last night, but they still got three homers in that game. Spencer Arrighetti himself has been a home run allowing machine the last three starts. Seven homers allowed last three times out. He's really corrected after a hot start. Unfortunately, I think this is another game that I think is going to be ripe for a lot of scoring. Whatever win there isn't going to hurt that much. It's supposed to be like 5 miles an hour. This is just it strikes me as another high scoring game, despite Foster Griffin being on the mound. Foster Griffin's great. I don't really want to go against him, but you get the Nats bullpen too. So when you and that Nats bullpen is hideous, horrendous, terrible. I can try to think of a few more adjectives there while we're at it, but I like the over 2.5 total homers. We did this on Monday. It worked out for us. It's minus 135 at DraftKings.
Unfortunately, Jeff, it is time to talk about the Cincinnati Reds, who are home for the Phillies tonight. Look, they are sending Chase Burns to the hill. Well, at least we can lean on that. A little bit of indecision as far as who's going to be out there for the Phillies as they try to replace Andrew Painter. But we got the Reds favored, minus 143 on the money line. Total sitting 9.5, depending on where you look.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's key, because I am going to look for the go under, and I found it 9.5 at Hard Rock. It is minus 130. You can get a better price, obviously, at 9.9 even. But hey, you're betting on Chase Burns. And even though I'm going to avoid his strikeout prop because his Ks are lower at home, even though his ratios are better at home, his ERA and WHIP are better at home, but the strikeouts are a little bit lower. He did beat the Phillies in Philly last time he faced them, so I think that's a little feather in his cap there as well. The Phillies are probably using a bit of a bullpen game today. It is a problem. Getting that fifth starter has been a problem, and that's why it's such a high total. But it's the Reds' bats we're talking about here. They struck out 14 times against Zach Wheeler last night. This is not a good offense. Lowest hitting WAR in baseball right now. So let's find some ways to exploit that. Under 9.5, minus 130, Hard Rock.
Now we get to talk about the Milwaukee Brewers, who continue their series against the St. Louis Cardinals, won both games of the doubleheader yesterday. Cards now 10.5 back in the NL Central. Brewers have opened up a 7-game lead over the Chicago Cubs. Brewers favored again tonight, minus 148 on the money line, total sitting at 8, sending Kyle Harrison to the hill against Michael McGreevy.
I love the lilt in your voice when we get to talk Brewers Cardinals fresh off of a doubleheader sweep like that there. Just hate to see it if you're a Cardinals fan. Hate to see it there. Fun play in that game last night in the doubleheader. Cardinals used a position player to pitch. So Jackson Churio batted left-handed, hit a ball 360 feet, didn't quite get it out, but still, he's not a switch hitter. So it was pretty funny. This is a fade Michael McGreevy play. Michael McGreevy has a 312 ERA, but an expected ERA, according to Baseball Savant, of 560. If you want to use XFIP, it's in the fours. Point is, Michael McGreevy is above his skis right now, and the Brewers are, I think, poised to exploit that. I'm going to go with the Brewers team total over 4.5, minus 105 at DraftKings.
Brewers have reached a point, Jeff, where I feel like they're not even playing that well over the last few weeks. Last night exempted, of course, a 10-2 win, but they're just grinding out wins, man. They're on 103 win pace. Yep. They have optionality. They almost have too many options now in that outfield. Brought up Luis Lara last night. He had an excellent debut. It may not be a great time to be a Reds fan. It is a very fun time to be a Milwaukee Brewers fan. Let's go to Angels Rangers, Jeff, before we get to our best bets of the night. Walbert Urena taking on Mackenzie Gore. Texas minus 156 on the money line. Total sitting 7.5.
This is a Globe Life Field play. Mackenzie Gore at Globe Life Field. 249 ERA, 0.92 whip. Higher strikeout rate. The Angels strike out against left-handers at a 25% rate, 25.4%. We're going Mackenzie Gore over 6.5 strikeouts, minus 120 over at Circa.
And we will leave you, as we always do, with our best bets of the night. We each got a couple plays in Major League Baseball, so what do you want to highlight?
The Dylan Cease one, I feel very strongly about. Over 6.5 strikeouts, if you want to do the 7.5 at plus 125, you can do that as well. I think he'll get there. And I'm going to fade Roky Sasaki tonight over 1.5 walks against the Rockies, minus 135 at DraftKings.
I got a pair of totals for you. We talked about Yankees Rays. That seven feels a little low to me. Rest of the market is at 7.5. You can still grab the over seven -120 at the Circus Sportsbooks. We'll put that on the card. Give me the over eight in the Battle of the Sox. Red Sox, White Sox on the south side. So a couple baseball totals for you. That Red Sox, White Sox -112 over at DraftKings. That's going to wrap the Wednesday edition of Prop Points here on the Sports Betting Network. But don't go anywhere. Money Moves, Stormy Bonantoni, Jonathan Von Tobel coming your way next. Mitch Michaels, tennis podcast host. He's set to join them with his best bets for Wimbledon. We'll be back with you tomorrow here on Prop Points. Best of luck tonight, and we will talk to you on Thursday.